The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gbeleago.
In the headlines, minority expresses dissatisfaction with EC's proposal on limited voter registration. Heavy metal pollution in Takwa affects agricultural production. 5 Chinese and 3 Ghanaians arrested for illegal mining at Apamprama Forest Reserve in Ashanti. President Mahama hosts Italian Prime Minister Renzi to state dinner at Flagstaff House in Accra, and WHO declares Zika virus public health emergency. The minority in Parliament says proposals on a new voters registration that will allow a registered voter to guarantee for 5 people cannot prove their citizenship is a recipe for chaos. The vice chairman of the subsidiary legislation committee, Kofi Osiameya, revealed the minority is incensed about CI-72 currently being scrutinized by the parliamentary subcommittee. The Electoral Commission is preparing to roll out a limited registration exercise in March for those who have turned 18 years, the legal voting age, or those who are beyond the age of 18 but do not have their names in the electoral roll. In the absence of a national identification system, proof of citizenship in Ghana is limited to a driver's license, passport or birth certificate. It is believed many Ghanaians do not have these certificates as proof of citizenship. Another new regulation proposed by the Electoral Commission, a registered voter has to fill a form to guarantee for up to 5 others whose citizenship is difficult to determine. Kofi Osiameya criticized the proposal by the EC to resolve the identity problem as too expansionist. It said it will worsen fears of the minority that foreign nationals from countries like Togo are on Ghana's register. With the new proposal, the NPP says mischief-minded registered voters can help push non-Ghanaians and minors onto the electoral roll.
A programs officer of CDD, Paul Abrampa, has challenged people who are alleging vote buying in the CPP presidential primary to lodge a formal complaint to the police. Speaking on Behind the News, he said such people should provide evidence to aid the police in their investigations. Mr. Abrampa, however, did not deny that vote buying may exist and its tendency to influence the electorate in an election. He spoke to George Asikuri.
When there's any financial material influence on the electorate, there are 3 things that come up. One, the one who has the highest bid is able to buy his way through irrespective of the fact of the qualification, competency, or allegiance to the cause of the nation. Two, we all know, and we know in political system, there are some people who call political investors. These people are able to support him who wants to drive his way through and also demand when such people win political offices. It could be contract, it could be other things, and these all things finally breed corruption. So yes, there are so many things wrong when actually it's established that people are always able to use material influence to buy their way into political office. We can pull legs of some people who have made the allegation to come up and help us to establish. So I mean, we can use this as a case study. Since we have on tape, on video, that my good uncle from Bedu Akosa was very serious and making allegations. My sister Samia on platform was making the allegations. Since they are gurus, they are main contenders on the party. And since they think they've been shortchanged, I think they can help us establish the fact that, yes, vote buying or bribery actually do happen in political contests. And in their situation, 1, 2, 3, because Samia, for instance, went ahead to mention some figures. She said the amount used by Green Street to bribe his way through range from 200 Ghana cedis to 500 Ghana cedis, meaning she has evidence. She has the facts. So maybe she can help us to start this investigation altogether. And if we have any clues, then come next election, we can use that basis to do a thorough investigation into the allegations.
You heard a programs officer of CDD, Paul Abrampa.
The Socialist Forum of Ghana, SFG, has congratulated the leadership and members of the CPP for holding a successful Congress and the election of the party's presidential candidate, Ivo Greenstreet, for the 2016 general election. In a statement, it said the CPP has a lot to offer in the struggle of Ghanaians for a new society whose resources will be controlled and exploited for the benefit of its people. The current situation in which the leadership of political parties have accepted the status of new colonial dependence is not acceptable. SIG believes it is possible to build a new Ghana, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah wanted, on the principles of social justice and deeper democracy. A new Ghana which would banish poverty, illiteracy, disease and ignorance. SIG pledged its readiness to join a broad platform of progressive to struggle alongside the masses of Ghana for economic emancipation and for the formation of a continental union government.
The executive director of the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, Daniel Amlalu, says Ghana can develop more rapidly if it supports the green economy project designed by the UN Environmental Programme. The project is to ensure that the manufacturing and the economic sectors will undertake programs without polluting the environment. He said this during a national training exercise for officers of the project in Accra, a report by Louis Ofori.
The Green Economy Project was designed by the UN Environment Programme to ensure that African countries factor environmental issues in their development plans. This is to further ensure that in understanding development projects, the environment is not polluted or degraded. At a program to train national officers of the project, the executive director of the EPA, Daniel Amlalu, said five countries have been selected by the UN for the pilot project. The countries are Ghana, Rwanda, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Mozambique. He explains further what the project seeks to achieve.
Economies to bring on board or mainstream environmental issues, green economy issues, international budget planning and implementation. This project has been designed by the United Nations Environment Programme with support from a number of stakeholders, including GIZ. A number of African countries have been selected, and basically there are five of them. Ghana representing the West African sub-region. Ghana already have started implementing issues with regards to green economy, have examples to show, have projects that can easily be taken on. We have implemented projects on actual green economy, that's ensuring that in developing projects we have sustainability.
The UN Environment Programme Regional Coordinator for Africa, Patrick Ngwesije, said the program has taken off in the country in collaboration with the EPA. He said the training is to enable the officers to understand the project to ensure the objectives of it are achieved. The head of Climate Change and Sustainable Development Unit at the Ministry of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Peter Derry, said the ministry supports the project and it is in the process of developing documents for the Metropolitan, Municipal and District Assemblies, MMDAs, to enhance the efforts of all stakeholders.
Relating to this project, but more importantly, the ministry has been pursuing the issue of mainstreaming green economy at national sector and sub-national level, national industry level, for some time now. We've been doing this in the district assembly, we've been doing this with NDPC and other partners. We have opportunity of developing documents for the district, including a district planning manual. So we see this project as a complementary project that is just coming to enhance the efforts that we've made so far. So in that regard, the ministry is very much committed, and that's why you find me here. I am the...
You heard the head of Climate Change and Sustainable Development Unit at the Ministry of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Peter Derry, ending that report by Louis Ofori.
Due to heavy metal pollution in Takwa, 8 out of 100 adults are said to be prone to cancer. Also, about 90% of 250 water sources within the Wasa West District and Obuasi and its environs are polluted as a result of irresponsible mining. The Associate Executive Director of WACAM, a civil society organization in mining, Hannah Wusu-Kranting, in an interview with Joyce Deche, said food shortage looms in Tebere Bay in the western region due to the dumping of mining residue on farms.
If you dig the ore and you want to dispose of the rock waste, you need about 3 times the space that was dug to dispose of the ore, because you're dealing with rock that has been losing up and it will take much bigger space than the original space that was dug. When you go to some of these mining communities, disposals are made on fertile lands. And also, you can have some of the sediments covering streams and water sources and all that. If somebody is talking about a rock waste generating poor agricultural returns, it has direct correlation. And so it's a serious issue. The worst part of it is that many of these areas that experience rock waste dumping have not received compensations at all.
Is this a
thing that we need to do? No. It's a normal practice in all mining areas. And so many of the communities in the Obuasi areas, for instance, have experienced this. The Takwa areas have experienced it. And even for the small-scale miners that have been granted concessions, they are also depriving farmers from accessing their land. So it's a widespread situation that we're dealing with. And if you look at a situation where research indicated that more than a third of the surface of Ghana is under concession, then that becomes a serious problem.
During the climate change conference in Paris, the Minister of Environment is quoted giving the mining companies the first quarter within which to come down on mining companies dumping their waste into the rivers.
Yeah.
I know we have this Akobin project. Is this effective?
I don't think the Akobin rating is effective. Environment is our society. So it's not a discussion between lovers, where companies and then the regulators would sit and then maybe handpick some individuals from civil society or wherever to assess what is going on. It's about every individual in the country, because as we continuously say, you can't market environmental pollution. Whether we like it or not, once a pollution occurs, it would affect everybody in the country. So when you discuss something as sensitive as the environment, you need to broaden the scope. Apart from that, there are instances where civil society groups, including WACAM, made direct reports to regulators, provided them with evidence of pollution. And it's as if your duty ends with providing information to a regulator, the regulator forgetting that he or she is accountable to you. In fact, the whole governance system in the country has to be looked at. Is it today that they are realizing that all our water bodies are polluted because of irresponsible dumping of rock waste or irresponsible channeling of effluents into community streams? Some community people have died already.
That was the Associate Executive Director of WACAM, Hannah Osu-Kranten.
GBC has relocated the TV license collection stand from Broadcasting House at Kanda to Access Bank on the Osu Oxford Street. The relocation of the pay point is to make the collection more visible and accessible to the public and customers of the bank to pay their license. The head of corporate communication of the bank, Nana Chiamantin, says they are happy to be part of the national exercise to facilitate hassle-free payment of TV licenses at all branches as a civic responsibility. Deputy Director of Finance in charge of TV license, Reverend Ebenezer Butchery, commended Ghanaians for the support they have shown in the collection of the fees so far, but cautioned that anybody who fails to pay will face a penalty of 3,000 Ghana cedis or years imprisonment.
We're able to go register
You heard a Deputy Director of Finance in charge of TV licenses, Reverend Ebenezer Butri, ending that report by Friends Entity. We sincerely apologize for the poor quality of the soundbite. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Minority expresses dissatisfaction with EC's proposal on limited voter registration. Heavy metal pollution in Takwa affects agricultural production. 5 Chinese and 3 Ghanaians arrested for illegal mining in Apaprama Forest Reserve in Ashanti. President Mahama hosts Italian Prime Minister Renzi to state dinner at Flagstaff House in Accra. And WHO declares Zika virus public health emergency. We will be back shortly.
You welcome back. The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, says the ministry is working round the clock to resolve chieftaincy conflicts in the country. He has therefore appealed to all aggrieved parties to use legitimate means to settle misunderstandings rather than taking the law into their hands. Dr. Dana, who said this at a news conference in Accra, urged the Judicial Committee of the Northern Regional House of Chiefs in particular to expedite judgment on the Bunturugu conflict. Dr. Dana disclosed that the National House of Chiefs will soon meet to chart the way forward to resolve the Dagbon crisis. It's a report by Antoinette Abba.
The news conference was necessitated by the renewed clashes in Bunturugu in the northern region last week and depressed by a fashion in the Dagbon chieftaincy dispute to go ahead with the funeral rites of their late chief. The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, said the various judicial committees at the regional levels are competent enough to handle any issue. He said currently, the regional committee is handling 252 cases, while the National House of Chiefs, which takes up full cases, is handling 103 cases. He appealed to all royals in the various chiefdoms in the country to channel their grievances through the right process for it to be settled amicably.
We got the statistics on the 26th after we had our meeting in Sunyani of all registrars of houses of chiefs in the country, just to give a fair idea of what the ministry is doing to contain the numerous chieftaincy disputes. Ashanti Region House of Chiefs Judicial Committee has 39 cases, Bonahafo 50, Eastern Region 13, Greater Accra 10, Northern Region 7, Upper East 8, Upper West 13, Western Region they have 42. The ministry would like to urge that we are the modern democratic system. The way forward is having cases resolved judicially. Indeed, those who feel aggrieved about natural justice or any other rules of justice can even go to the High Court. But let us not use other means. We are urging that all princes or royals who feel aggrieved, it is the right of that person to go to court. Let us not allow anger to let us use other means. It is easy for a problem to crop up in chieftaincy, but it takes time and sweat to get it resolved.
Dr. Dana said a draft LI will be brought before Parliament to clearly define the lines of succession to stools and skins. This will help the judicial councils to resolve conflicts of succession before they even crop up.
The National House of Chiefs, we have a project we call Codification of Lines of Succession Project. It was mounted in the year 2000. And the research unit of the chieftaincy outfit collects data regarding those families competent to occupy this stool. When the LI starts, and it tells you who comes next. If you have two royal houses and the sitting chief is from royal house A, then it means that if that chief passes away to internet, you cannot come from that same family A to claim chieftaincy. It will not be the turn of Royal House B. If you do, you'll be slouching the ally and it becomes a criminal offense. No more litigation.
Dr. Dana said the chieftaincy institution is neutral. Though perceptions of political influence might crop up once in a while, it is prudent to bring these issues immediately to the attention of the traditional councils to be resolved without delay, because if it lingers, it creates room for rumors.
Antoinette Abba's report.
NADMO has retrieved the body of the 12th person in the ferry disaster in the Afram Plains over the weekend. 11 people were rescued when a ferry they were traveling on sank in the Busum River at Afram Plains in the eastern region. Correspondent Yawa Sansa reports.
The NADMO coordinator, led by Mr. Timothy Bogla, has been able to organize people to retrieve the body from the lake. And he has been identified as Kujo Bedu from Pando Gadi, in the Volta region. He was in charge of the tractor that also got sunk in the Volta Lake during the incident last Sunday. The body meanwhile has been deposited at the Presbyterian Hospital at Donkokrom for autopsy. What is happening now is that the NADMO has put in a request to the Ministry of Transport, or for that matter the government, to do something about bringing down a ferry either from Akosombo. There are a lot of ferries presently at Akosombo port, and this is what the NADMO coordinator has been pleading with the government, if possible, to send one of such ferries to the area to be able to enable the commuters at Akroso and in Chiaboma to use it, because they are major farmers over there, and in the absence of this ferry, they will find it difficult to commute to Donkokrom.
That was correspondent Yawa Sante reporting from the Afan Plains in the eastern region.
Five Chinese nationals and three Ghanaians have been arrested by the Forestry Commission in the Amanxie Central District of Ashanti for illegal mining in the Apamprama Forest Reserve. In an interview with Radio Ghana, an executive director of the Forestry Commission, Raphael Yaboa, said the eight individuals who are currently in police custody will soon be processed for court. He said the commission will leave no stone unturned in protecting the reserve, which remains rich in gold deposits. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
The forest reserve we are talking about is Apamprama Forest Reserve, the Amanxie Central District near Bekwai, Ashanti. And for about 1.5 months ago, we observed that some unknown persons have parked two excavators just outside the forest reserve. And my men have been monitoring what was going on until the 29th of January, that last Friday. They moved the machine in and started mining illegally with the assistance of some Ghanaians. And so on Saturday morning, the team arrested five Chinese nationals and three Ghanaians for unlawful entry into the reserve and causing some damage to the forest reserve by excavating some holes. But I wish to put on record that since we were very vigilant and monitoring their move, they hadn't caused so much destruction or damage to the forest yet. So as we speak now, the eight people are currently in police custody in the required district police station and are being processed for prosecution to serve as deterrents for others for similar offenses.
Is this the first time people have entered into the reserve to mine?
No, about 7 months ago, some number of Chinese people with some excavators, seven excavators, this time with the assistance of the 12th Battalion of Infantry, were arrested and prosecuted for a similar offense. And that one, the destruction was about 2 hectares of the forest reserve.
What do they go there to mine in the first place?
It's gold. They are doing alluvial mining and surface mining in this forest reserve. The reserve is rich in gold deposits, and that is what they are trying to mine.
You stated that, but for the vigilance of your men, these Chinese nationals and Ghanaians would have made a lot out of the forest. Meaning that the moment you go to sleep, people can take advantage and then mine in the Apamprama Forest Reserve. So what sustainable mechanisms are you putting in place to ensure that people do not have access to the forest in the first place?
In the first place, what we're trying to do is at least intensify our patrols over the area. There is very little in terms of fencing or anything of the sort towards them up. And you know that these gold deposits, once they are there, will continue to be there. Meanwhile, by land use, we are not going to permit mining in the forest until the policy changes that is what it's supposed to be used for.
Mm.
What we're trying to do is increasing our patrol and surveillance of the place. We now have a rapid response that are also somehow armed with pump, because most of these people are armed to the teeth. And also, thirdly, what we're trying to do is that some of these people, when we send them to court and prosecuted recently, some instances that we had at Kawia District, the fines were so big, about 109,000 Ghana, and they were also ordered to rehabilitate the destroyed area. So we believe that some of these is coupled with the assistance of the local people, the communities, the political districts, and who are both responsible for the red set and the dye set. If they assist us with the local security under their ambit, we could actually make a progress in protecting this area.
Executive Director of the Forestry Commission, Raphael Yaboa.
President John Mahama has commended Italy's continued support to Ghana's small and medium-scale enterprises. Recently, the government of Italy dispersed the second tranche of a grant facility of €550,000 to support the private sector development initiative. President Mahama made the commendation when he hosted the visiting Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi to a state dinner at Flagstaff House in Accra. Mr. Renzi is on a two-day visit. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
This is the first time an Italian Prime Minister is visiting Ghana. Relations between Italy and Ghana date back to the pre-independent days. As of last year, about 118 Italian companies had registered to operate here. The bilateral talks between President Mahama and Prime Minister Renzi was held behind closed doors. As a dinner, President Mahama commended Italy for the $7 billion investment in the energy sector. The project signed in January last year is being undertaken by Italy's largest oil company, Eni. President Mahama, who described the project as the biggest single foreign direct investment, said it will see the development of the Sankofa and Jinyami fields to provide gas to operate the country's thermal power plants for 20 years.
One of the key issues in my discussions with Prime Minister Renzi has been Italy's support for the development of small and medium-scale enterprises in Ghana and the introduction of Italy's well-tested, renowned quality tomato production technology. And I said during our discussion that if there are any two things Ghanaians and Italians share in common is that we put tomato in everything, in soups, stews, everything. I have on behalf of the government and people of Ghana expressed gratitude to the government of Italy for the support extended to the Ghana Private Sector Development Facility, an initiative for strengthening the capacity of local small and medium enterprises. Italy has also recently disbursed an extra amount of €550,000, being the second tranche of the grant component of the Ghana Private Sector Development Facility Loan.
President Mahama also appealed to Italy to impress upon the European Union to support distressed countries like Libya to rebuild.
One of the key issues for which Ghana will continue to encourage Italy to rally and get the European Union to work hard at is the need to support troubled countries such as Libya to build a stable and functioning government. Developing in troubled countries must be supported by the development partners to build industry aimed at creating employment opportunities for young people in order to stem the regular migrant flows into Western Europe. We need to put in projects for enhancing skills development amongst young people in Africa.
Italy's Prime Minister Matteo Renzi said he has great impressions about Ghana as there exists a lot of business opportunities. He made a strong call on the need to invest money and time in the agricultural sector.
I think this is a moment in which two countries could share a lot of things, a lot of ideas, a lot of agreements, a lot of business opportunities, a lot of exchange in the cultural sector. But we must invest a lot of time and money in every sector, also tomatoes, and it's important. Agriculture is, I agree with the president, because we discussed about only Mr. President and myself, we spoke about agriculture during the meeting in Valletta, and the people look at us, oh, they are not normal. No, we consider the great win-win operation, the relation between agriculture in Italy and Ghana, in Europe and Africa. We have a great know-how in this sector.
Prime Minister Renzi will tour and lay a wreath at the Kwame Nkrumah Memorial Park. He will also visit Parliament House before departing to his home country, Italy. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo, Accra.
The WHO says a disease linked to the Zika virus in Latin America poses a global public health emergency that requires a united response. Experts are worried that the virus is spreading far and fast with devastating consequences. The infection has been linked to cases of microcephaly, which babies are born with underdeveloped brains. The WHO alerts put Zika in the same category of concern as Ebola. Now to the news and main points again. The minority in Parliament is unhappy with the EC's proposal on a new voters register that will permit a registered voter to guarantee for five people who cannot prove their citizenship Vice Chairman of the Subsidiary Legislation Committee, Kofi Oseramia, said the new proposal will allow mischief-minded registered voters to help push non-Ghanaians and minors onto the electoral roll. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gleago in Accra.